Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Registered dietitian nutritionist Nancy Farrell back with us this morning. We're going to talk about keeping up with New Year's resolutions or getting back on track, just kind of healthy eating and a healthy lifestyle in the new year. Nancy, it's good to have you back with us.
Oh, thank you. It's always my pleasure to be here.
You are one of the longest running guests over the years.
Seriously.
It's good to have you, and we've got to get you in more this year to talk about these kind of things. Before we get into a lot of food stuff, there is a we might have another ice storm this weekend, or at least some ice. I don't know if it's going to be a huge storm, but we could have some ice tomorrow. And you gave me this pretty cool map, the snow to bread index. I guess was this based on last weekend's storm?
It was, and I just, you know, I'm not sure the legitimacy of this, but it's kind of fun to look at. So, you know, ever notice when there's an ice storm, snowstorm, people We'll run out and get two basic items, right? And one of them is bread. The other is
toilet paper.
Could be toilet paper, but food-wise, it would be milk, right?
Oh, milk. Yes, of course.
So, but you know, so in my practice, lots of times people will say that they avoid those two, that food, bread, mm-hmm. and that beverage, milk. But when a storm comes, the shelves empty on those two things, right, all the time.
As if we're going to be snowed in or iced in for weeks.
Exactly. But you know what? I guess there's the legitimacy to those two items are that, you know, milk and bread are good foods. So let me just capitalize on that for a minute. You know, if you're out there shoveling snow, you need to be really careful, right? But it is work. It is exercise for you. So the milk has the calcium in there for your bone health. It has protein in there, which helps with muscle recovery for you a little bit. And there's potassium in milk. And so if you're shoveling snow, you're working up a sweat sometimes, right? So you're losing potassium. So milk would be a great recovery beverage. And then lots of times in snowstorms or ice storms, we might lose power, which we're going to talk about in a second. But if we lost power, then bread comes into play in terms of we're able to make that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really quickly.
So, hey, what do you think? Speaking of milk, because we're going to talk about a lot of different diets or a lot of different things that are out there. But I know that there are people who swear off dairy products and then don't do milk and do substitutes for regular milk. Is that health-wise, does that put you at all at risk?
Well, so, you know, when you and I grew up, it was just cow's milk that was on the shelf, right?
That was it.
Okay, so then you had all those people who then started to have symptoms and they were lactose intolerant. So you might have seen some of the lactose-free cow milk items that were on the store shelves. And so today, then, what we're seeing is maybe some of the more, I'll call them milk derivative or milk beverage type plant-based
mm-hmm. Yeah.
drinks, right? So it's almond or soy or even rice. There's actually even different ones out there. So those came about for those people who didn't want the animal product, but they wanted to try to have that milk or that creamy beverage in cooking or to put a little bit on their cereal. They wanted the vegetable source of that. So those are most likely fortified with some calcium and vitamin D in them, because I wouldn't say that almonds is necessarily a big source of vitamin D per se. So they're out there, they exist. If you look at the food label of some of those have, you know, additional items added to them. Milk is milk. Cow's milk is cow's milk.
Yeah, no, I had somebody, a family member recently had gone to that, and I never tried it, but somebody who did said, It tasted fine.
Mm-hmm. Look at the ingredient list, though, in terms of what else is added in those. So, like I'm saying, like if you buy cow's milk, you're going to see the milk and you're going to see vitamin D. That's probably what's on the ingredient list. If you're buying one of those plant-derived milk beverages, look at the ingredient list and see what else is in that product.
And so I guess if you do that, there may be things then that you need to have other foods maybe to replace,
right.
not getting the vitamin D.
Correct. Just make the choice that's best for you, but be the educated consumer. and know what you're getting.
Speaking of storms and dealing with keeping food safe, I guess the concern is you lose power for a while and food can go bad.
Right. So if you're anticipating a storm and you're thinking the power might go out, one of the biggest things to do is store those milk and eggs in the refrigerator, not on the door. The door gets constantly opened and closed, right? So that milk, or if you're like me, I like really cold milk, right? So if you like it nice and cold, then store it back in the refrigerator, so it's going to help maintain the temperature of that more easily. Put containers of water in your freezer. That helps to create some blocks of ice and keep things kind of a lot colder, cooler. And should the power go out, again, avoid opening those doors. If the power is restored within about 4 hours, then the items in your refrigerator should be fine. If the freezer has been stuffed with items and it's packed really nice and tight and you're not opening the door, then the food in the freezer could probably last about 2 days. If you're opening it, or if it's a half full freezer, then maybe 1 day, you know. But always the rule is, when in doubt, throw it out, unfortunately. But if you can prep a little bit ahead of time, or you have some, you know, make sure your temperature in your refrigerator especially is at 40 degrees Fahrenheit. If you kind of know some of these things ahead of time, you could save some food. It's a cost factor for people.
Yeah, and I've known people whether it's been summer storms or winter storms, and all of a sudden they start bumping into this 2 day situation. With certain things, we'll just go out and grill things.
That's a great idea. In the summer. Right?
Yeah, just try to use things. But like you say, don't take chances, because really
food
bad
poisoning,
things.
Food poisoning is not a nice illness at all, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and can be deadly. So just be preventative. Use some precaution.
Well, and some of these are really great ideas of putting the water in the freezer and things like that. With a storm coming, if you think there's any chance,
just put some in some Tupperware, put it in the freezer, let it ice up a little bit. It'll just keep the food in there cold for a long period of time. And so, again, it's cost savings.
I had never heard of putting the things in the back of the refrigerator, too. That's a great idea, because, like you say, on the door, it's going to warm up much quicker.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, but I just, again, you know more than I about the weather this weekend and what's happening, but I think we're supposed to get an ice storm a little bit or something.
Yeah, so we could see a little bit of ice. I don't think it's going to be. Hopefully, we don't have this situation, but this is good to keep in mind.
Right. We're in the season.
Yeah.
So.
For now, in the next 6 weeks or so, it's going to be there. Nancy Farrell is with us, farrelldietitian.com, if you want to find out more about what she does. When we come back, we'll continue this and talk about just eating right in the new year. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Registered dietitian nutritionist Nancy Farrell is here this morning as we talk about eating right in the new year. One of the things we always do, Nancy, we should probably do it right off. You being a registered dietitian nutritionist, that's a little bit different than just a registered dietitian.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yes, so a registered dietitian nutritionist is a true medical professional. So I have to have a minimum 4-year college degree, and we're going to be changing that now to requiring a master's, and I do have a master's degree. Mm-hmm. And we have to complete an intensive internship program, just like any other healthcare provider or physician might have to do, right? And we have to pass a board certified exam. Think of like your physical therapist, your nurses out there, and we have to keep up with continuing education credits. So we are, you know, registered and monitored. And so I think anybody who comes to see me should know that, right? I am a true medical nutrition therapy specialist.
You're one of a number of people around the country who's kind of become a spokesman for these kind of issues.
Correct. Through the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, I am one of 30 national spokespersons. So I've been on air from Los Angeles to Florida and in between. And I started on your show, Ted. So thank you so much.
Yes, that was what was the fascinating thing, because at that time, and this was, I guess, 13, 14, 15 years ago now, we sort of discovered you and you started coming in. And I remember the first time just thinking, she's really good.
To my benefit, I've got here. So thank you.
And so, we've over the years have talked a lot about this. And I said to you this morning, so many of the kind of the current trends right now that we see are things that you talked about healthy snacks and portion sizes and things that you've been talking about for years. Sometimes you must sit back and see some of these current trends and just think, you know, I saw those, you know, I was telling people about this years ago.
Yeah, that would feel good. So I love what I do. I think that's important, right? And it's really about helping people and educating people to make the choices that are good for them and that work in their lifestyle. So, but I appreciate the time here. Thank you so much.
As we get into a lot of this, I mean, one of the big things you have always talked about over the years is to watch how much you eat, watch portion sizes. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've done shows on reading labels and knowing what you're putting into your body.
Right. And I always bring some food samples here, some food props. So I've got your table full with a few things.
Yes, you do.
Talk about them. I want to talk about New Year's tips, I think, first of all. So I was looking at some poll data and it showed that 44% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. And of that 44%, then a third of them, or about 34%, make resolutions that are related to weight loss goals, right? So remember, we were talking about portion sizes and eating healthy. So people are always very interested in health at the beginning of the year, and their interest in attending health clubs or getting those memberships increased quite a bit. But every time I've been here with you, Ted, if you remember, I mean, I'm not necessarily a firm believer in resolutions, because to me, resolutions imply an all or nothing approach. Like I'm going to give up chocolate forever, or right, or I'm not going to watch any TV, and I'm not so sure that that's realistic. So I like to say rather it's the best to focus on intention. So intentions mean, you know, a little bit more purpose, meaning flexibility to what I'm going to do and some accountability. So it's more of a positive approach. So it might be something like, you know, maybe I'm not going to have chocolate chip cookies every evening after dinner or whatever, and at 50 calories a pop, right? Maybe instead what I might be able to do to satisfy the chocolate interest that I might have is maybe have a hot cup of cocoa, which is maybe 70 or 80 calories just for that cup. So, or here's another one, an exercise one, a treadmill. You know, a lot of us use that as the garment rack, right? The clothes rack.
Yes, yes.
So maybe I'm actually going to use that treadmill three times a week. So it's really, I think for the New Year's, you know, have a plan, have some strategies, and that's where a registered dietitian nutritionist can help you with those strategies and those behavior changes, and definitely hold you accountable. I always tell my patients that the time to come into my office is not when you feel like you've done everything perfect. It's really the best time to come in is when you feel like, oh, I backslid a little bit, because you know what? Then I'll actually have suggestions for you to improve, and we can work on that to get better. So I think the New Year's, with the intentions, I have four intentions that I think are really important this year. And this one you're probably going to laugh at, because you've probably heard this from me so much. But number one is eat your vegetables.
Yep.
So a Center for Disease Control report a couple years ago reported that nearly 25% of American adults eat less than a serving a day. So that's 0 to 1 servings, okay? And kids eat less than that. So think of when you go to a restaurant. Do you see vegetables on a kid's meal?
Not usually.
No, you don't. And so that's what we're teaching our kids. So all your listeners out there that are parents, you know, that's what you're teaching your kids. So if you're going to pick one change to make for the better health this year, I would say this one is it. Eating your vegetables fights disease, manages weight, helps with bowel control. Have a strategy to have a vegetable source at 2 meals per day. So let's talk about this a minute. At breakfast, you could make an omelet or scrambled eggs and throw some peppers and onions and mushrooms in there, right? Sandwich time, at lunchtime, excuse me, you could have a sandwich and throw some spinach leaves on there. Do you see head lettuce in the store anymore? The round head lettuce?
Not much.
Because
it's all in a bag.
Right. But why would there not be that iceberg lettuce in the store that much anymore? What do you think?
I don't know. Now that you say that, you don't. I mean, that was the way I always used to buy.
Totally. We saw that all the
time. All the time. You just grab one off and then grab it off, and you don't anymore.
No, because there's really nothing in it but water, you know? So we've bumped up our taste or our preference for food items that have a little bit more nutrient content to them. So you're going to see the romaine lettuce out there, or all those other lettuces,
okay,
the spinach leaves. So put that spinach leaf on your sandwich. When I make, you know, if I make BLTs in the summertime, that's when I eat the bacon, but I don't put lettuce on it. I'll put a spinach on it. So it's actually a BST.
Oh,
just to
get
that little,
tasty.
Yes, just to get a little bit extra nutrition out of that. You can snack on carrots and hummus and tomatoes and have a little, I'm going to talk to you about jerky, meat jerky a little bit of meat jerky with that. Or making, we've talked about this, making sure that half of your luncheon dinner plate is filled with vegetables, right? And so a serving size of a vegetable is, I would say, like a tennis ball size, or mm-hmm. even maybe a yo-yo. Kids might, if they know what a yo-yo is today, but they might be able yeah. to recognize that a little bit. But making sure that half your plate at lunch and dinner time is filled with vegetables. So number one is eat more vegetables.
It's interesting. I have heard some teachers say to me that a few years ago when Michelle Obama came up with the plan of having kids eat better and they changed the lunches, I know in Spotsylvania County, and I've heard some teachers say they were highly skeptical, and they say it's interesting to see that now a lot of these kids, when given the choice of having French fries or something mm-hmm. vegetable related, they're choosing the vegetable stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I think that helps the good role modeling at home, right? The Michelle Obama did the vegetable garden at the White House, right? Mm-hmm. So she brought up the awareness of that type of campaign and program. And I've done studies too where I've brought food to like 100 kids, and they were healthy foods, and they were foods maybe they weren't familiar with, but if they're hungry, they're going to take them. They're going to go for it. So
my wife the other night for dinner gave me and made me eat some sweet potato fries. And I said, I kept saying, I don't want these. And she said, you're going to try them.
Good for her.
And they were pretty good.
They're very good.
Yeah.
I love them.
So I have a new, you may think, because I don't like sweet potatoes, mm-hmm. but, and I said, you know, those look disgusting. I don't want them. And, you know, treating me like a little kid sometimes, but they were good.
They're very good. And so it's about eating smart. That's my business slogan, right? And so in that sweet potato fry, then you have vitamin A. So that's good for vision, but it's also good for complexion, skin health, okay, and fighting off some cancer. So just if you can just naturally put these things into your mm-hmm. to your meals, it's a plus for you. My number two intention is choose your fats wisely, right? So a lot of people feel that we need to stay away from fat, and that's really not the case. We need it. It insulates us. It protects us. It helps to carry fat-soluble vitamins. It balances hormones. So we just need to make sure that we're picking the best ones. And big discussion lately is those omega-3 fats. Now, those are good in terms of decreasing blood pressure and inflammation. And for your listeners out there that who might have sports injuries or maybe arthritis or heart inflammation, consuming a good amount of omega-3 fats each day is advisable. So flax, I know we've talked about flax before, but chia is also another way to get omega-3 fats inside. So I like these little single packs of flax and chia seeds together. You can pack this in your lunchbox and put it on various foods like in yogurt, I've even put it on my sandwich and stuff like that. Another way, we were talking about lettuce is just a little bit ago, arugula lettuce, if you've heard of that.
No, I have not.
That's a lettuce that has omega-3 fats in it. So that's why you're seeing that also in the produce aisle. Then obviously we have the fish and the walnuts. So choosing your fats wisely, though, I want two items here I just want to show you is, have you seen this before? This is powdered peanut butter. This is you're giving me that face. It's kind of funny. It's a powdered, this one happens to be a chocolate peanut butter. So powdered peanut butter came about initially because people wanted to put peanut butter in a smoothie, right? So, but it wouldn't mix up, so it became powdered. So what this is it's a powder and the oil is taken out of it. So you can put it in the smoothie, but you could also use it as a peanut butter and you just mix this powder with the water. So what you've done, if you look on the label, if you've taken out the fat, how much fat is in there, Ted? Can you tell if you look at the label?
Is it 2%?
The gram amount.
Oh, 1 gram.
1 gram.
One gram.
So regular peanut butter is going to have a lot more fat than that in it.
Okay.
So that's a good way. Choose your fats wisely, right? And something else I brought in that I get asked all the time about, and I was kind of skeptical about it, but this was, what am I holding in front here?
The turkey bacon,
right. I get asked this all the time. Is that much better for you?
So is that much better for you?
Well, I bought it because I'm going to try it myself because I looked at the label finally of it and I thought, you know what? This has 1.5 grams of total fat in one slice. It meets my requirements. It's got 6 grams of protein in it. So I'm going to give this a shot. This might be an option for those of us that might want to have bacon. Okay.
Okay.
On this label, though, too, I'm going to tell you one of the big things that you're going to see coming out a lot more in the supermarket is the discussion on nitrates and nitrites. So there's some discussion that can be cancer causing. Or those of you who have had cancer need to be careful about consuming nitrite or nitrates in our processed meat. So you're going to see that at the deli meat aisle as well.
Yeah.
Now, nitrites occur naturally in celery powder, celery seed, and sea salt. So if that's the source of the nitrites, then you're okay. But in terms of some of those heavily preserved items, you might if you have cancer or worry about that, you might want to take note of that. But I'm going to try this turkey bacon because it meets what I would say are my requirements for fat.
Well, the next time you come in, we'll get a book report from you on if they're good. Hey, onto the peanut butter just for a second, because a lot of times just regular peanut butter you'll hear about for a snack. Putting peanut butter on an apple or putting peanut butter on celery is like anything to watch. Don't overdo it, but that's a good snack.
And again, when we grew up, it was just peanut butter on the aisle, but now you're seeing almond nut butter, soy nut butter, cashew nut butter, right? So a great source of some fiber, depending on which one you take in, some different nutrients, protein, but it's definitely a fat source. Yeah, so that's the powdered one is an option for those of us that want to use that.
Hold on before we'll continue this list when we come back. Nancy Farrell here. She's a local registered dietitian nutritionist, FerrellDietitianServices.com. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
FerrellDietitianServices.com is where you can find out more with Nancy Farrell. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We're coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Registered dietitian nutritionist Nancy Farrell with us this morning as we talk foods. One of the things we just mentioned, Nancy, Farrell Dietitian Services.com is your website. You're around here in... people can set up appointments. Your office is over by the Mary Washington Hospital.
Behind the hospital, correct. So they can like me on Facebook, follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter page, and Farrell RDN. It is farrelldietitian.com. They can email me. The phone number is 540-479-3404 if you're interested in chatting on the phone. But, I take all ages of the life cycle, and I do one-on-one counseling.
Mm-hmm. Farrelldietitian.com for information. On what Nancy provides. You were going through a list. We're halfway through. Mm-hmm. So good intentions.
Right, good intentions. So we were talking. I have to mention this. The second one was choose your fats wisely. And you were just telling me on break here that you had went out to eat last night and you had salmon. So right, salmon is a great source of omega 3 fats too. So kudos to you for that one.
So I get a little check mark by me today.
You do.
And I got two vegetables
on your plate:
spinach
Yay.
And broccoli.
How about that?
And they were delicious. It was delicious.
After, what, a decade? We're doing good.
it takes me a while, but I keep listening to what you say.
Thank you. All right. So number three this year is decrease those added sugars. So we're not talking about the natural sugars that you might find in dairy or in fruit products. You will see the new food label start to make its way into the supermarket this year. Definitely has to be out by 2018. But on that new food label, it's going to be a category that talks about or lists, the added sugars in that product that you're eating. So I do want to say on average, we consume 105 pounds of sugar each year. That correlates to 25 of those 4-pound bags of sugar. So if you can kind of conceptualize that, we're getting in a lot of sugar. So it ends up being about 45 teaspoons a day. And the USDA says, they would like to see us have no more than 12 teaspoons a day. The American Heart Association and the World Health Organization say they don't want any more than 6 added teaspoons of sugar a day. So let me just give you an idea. I mean, I've looked at trail mixes where a quarter cup of a trail mix adds 3.5 teaspoons of sugar. Quarter cup, 3.5 teaspoons of sugar.
A trail mix.
Yes, you can visualize what that looks like. Or there are cereals out there where you can have maybe three quarters of a cup of cereal, and maybe there's 4 teaspoons of sugar in there. So those are those added sugar things that really start to add up, and then that's why we get to those 25 bags of sugar a year.
I've seen some. In fact, I saw yesterday somebody had posted on Facebook a picture of all these different drinks and the sugar in them, and it was frightening.
It's very frightening.
A can of Coke.
Exactly. About 10 teaspoons of sugar in that. And then when you get the orange ones, like the flavored ones, you can get to like 13 teaspoons of sugar in a 12-ounce. So, but, you know, then you're also talking about the fruit juice is a sweet product, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but then you have these fruit drinks where people get confused about that, right?
That was me. I mean, for all the time I kept thinking, well, this is fruit. And somebody said to me, there's a lot of sugar in that. Mm-hmm. Just take a look at, just check the label.
Mm-hmm. So, and I do label reading classes and tours at the supermarket. I do that with each one of my patients, and they really, each one of them tell me, you know, what they've learned. So I do think they find that a worthwhile experience. But number three is decrease the added sugars. Number four I want to get to is gut health. It became very important, or maybe became prominent. And I see a lot of people who have gut issues, and I'm just going to, you know, bloating, intestinal upset, right? So a lot of people are uncomfortable out there. And so dietitians and culinary experts have a conference every year, and this year it was in Boston. And what I noticed on the expo floor was there's a lot of discussion about that, and the fermented foods are going to be probably even more prominence in the market. So we saw this happening about a decade ago, where people were talking about probiotics a lot, right? And they were then going to probiotic supplements. The mm-hmm. problem with supplements is it's hard to really diagnose. It's hit or miss in terms of what supplements somebody might need. We have about 10 trillion bacteria in our gut. And at any point in time, that number can change. And also the certain bacteria count of specific ones can alter. So it becomes really hard. So be proactive about this. And the thought is that, you know, consume more fermented foods. And that would be like your yogurt. Sauerkraut is another one. I don't know if you like that. Mm-hmm. Sourdough bread is another one that's out there that's fermented. Hmm. Right. So you could increase your intake of that. But let's talk about kimchi, which is fermented Korean vegetables. You're going to see a little bit of that more on the market. Miso, which is fermented soybean paste that's used in Japanese cooking. And there's something new that you're going to see is called beetkraut. So it's like a fermented shredded beets. So fermented food is going to come out a little bit. But so it's the probiotic foods, the gut health, the fermented foods. They're going to help with those symptoms of bloating and intestinal upset. So
I don't like beets, but I hear a lot more about beets. Seem to be one of those up and coming
absolutely
vegetables.
You see either at the specialty restaurants, yeah. Right? You're seeing beet chips. So beets are actually good, heart healthy, very good thing for us. So I want to kind of move into some of the trends I see happening for 2017.
Okay.
One thing is alternative pasta. So I have here like black bean spaghetti. I have not tried this yet, Ted, but I bought it because I want to give it a shot, right? So, and chickpea pasta, right? So these two right here. So you're going to see like bean pastas come out. And so what you're getting in a serving of like this organic black bean spaghetti, you're getting 25 grams of protein or 2 grams of fat.
Hmm.
Okay, and you're getting 12 grams of fiber. So I'm excited to see these alternative pastas that are out there that are made with lentils, quinoa, chickpeas, things like that. Okay, egg yolks you might have seen before or heard before that, you know, the eggs were bad for us. I would say the whole egg, if you unless you have heart disease, just go ahead and enjoy that whole egg. It's about, you know, the quantity of it. Just don't have too much of that. Right?
Okay.
Coconut products are going to hit the shelves a lot more this year. You're going to see them in chips, ice cream, butters. Just remember, it's a saturated fat. If we had a cup of whole milk, there'd be about 150 calories of it. If we had a cup of coconut milk, there'd be about 450 calories in it. Mm. And a lot of the fat in coconut products are saturated fat. Now, that saturated fat in the coconut milk or the coconut may actually help to increase our HDL or our good cholesterol level, but it also increases our bad cholesterol level. So there's a lot of interest in coconut, and I love coconut, but I would say just use it sparingly to flavor foods.
Okay.
Purple foods, you're going to see a lot of that happening in 2017.
I have seen that. It's it just, when you see them, it just looks kind of weird.
So purple asparagus, purple corn, right? You might have black rice that turns a little bit purple when you cook it. Elderberries. So the thought is that, think of grape juice even, right? So there's a plant compound in these items. It's a phytonutrient that we call anthocyanins, and we know that those help to decrease inflammation, so helps to fight heart disease and slows the aging process. So you're going to see purple foods out there quite a bit. I want to mention savory foods. Now, I just brought this honey in, and I like vanilla, so I got a vanilla one, which doesn't sound very savory, but you're going to see honey that is like flavored with red chili or jalapeno flavored honey. You use that for flavoring probably on your on your meats or whatever. You're going to see meat jerkies going to be flavored, right? Savory flavors, again, red chili, habanero. So the savory flavors, you're going to even actually start to see yogurts out there that are going to be made with different flavors, like we talked about sweet potato or beetroot yogurt, carrot flavored yogurt. They're going to be using those food items as natural sweeteners in yogurts to get away from that added sugar. So it's just I think the yogurt aisle, remember when we grew up, again, I keep bringing this up, that yogurt was not on the shelf.
No,
right?
Or if it was, you had one choice.
Right.
And so, now it's just amazing, all these little packets of every kind of flavor.
So you had the regular yogurt, then the Greek yogurt became really popular because people wanted the extra protein that was in it, right? And so there's just been from 2005, I think the sales of Greek yogurt, you know, it's just exponentially gone up. So yogurt is a big popular thing. You're going to see savory flavors in yogurts as well. Another item is not wasting food. And realizing that food is not perfect. That's another trend that's going to happen. So have you ever heard of the Ugly Fruit campaign?
No.
No?
I have not.
So have you ever harvested? I was just thinking here. I've harvested potatoes in the fall.
Yeah. Oh, they're fun to dig them out of the ground, and they're tasty.
Yes.
I love doing potatoes.
But sometimes they have these funny shapes, right?
Right.
They're not perfect.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole concept, that 40% of what is harvested actually gets tossed because it doesn't look perfect, because we want that perfect looking strawberry, right? Or
mm-hmm.
that perfect looking
yeah.
potato or whatever. So I think we buy broccoli crowns, right? We don't want to buy the stalk. What do you do with the stalk of your broccoli? Do you use it, or
yes.
do you eat that?
No, I do eat it.
Okay, and
yes.
that's good. Some people don't, but some people just want to buy the crowns.
Yeah,
right?
No.
So that stalk gets thrown out. So what do you see on the market now? You see broccoli rice and cauliflower rice. Have you seen those?
Yes, I have.
That's
yeah.
the stalks
oh, okay.
that are chopped up and used, right?
Yeah.
So you're seeing that on the market a little bit more too. But it's becoming trendy actually over like in Europe too, like in Germany and in France, the supermarkets are putting more on the shelf the they're calling it, again, the ugly fruit or the inglorious type fruits or vegetables. So understanding that the nutrient content in those that produce is still the same. And so still enjoying those. So less waste, I think, is going to be going on. And I'll say another trend is, and I know you know this because I've heard some of the ads on radio too, is the art. I think the art of cooking is being reborn. So those meal delivery service,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever tried those?
I have not, but I know people that do, and just they love them.
Yeah. Do they say why? Do you know why they? What's their?
The ease of doing it, but also the variety. Sometimes they'll say they've done things that they never would have thought
done before
to do.
Right. Right. And the
yeah.
recipes, nothing's repeated for quite a while.
Yeah.
Right. So it gives a lot of variety to it. So right, but they'll say that it's convenience. They'll say it's fresh ingredients for them. You know, one downside I have heard is some of these meal delivery services require a lot of prep time. So these are really for people who want to get back in the kitchen and,
mm-hmm.
and learn how to cook. I would say that the greatest gift you can give your child is to teach them how to cook. That's the life skill they're going to have
yeah.
forever. So I think that's really, really important. So you're going to see that a lot. And another trend that is coming up, or it's really going to just be a little bit more dominant, is the intuitive eating aspect. So do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Intuitive eating, is that just thinking about what you're choosing?
Yeah, so it's really trying to get in tune more with hunger or appetite, right? So actually a break. We were talking about your dinner last
night,
right? So, you know, if you're truly hungry, then go ahead and eat, okay? Hunger is that physiologic need for food. Appetite is when that dessert comes out and you say, well, I'm not really hungry, but it's there and it looks really good or it smells really good, right?
Yeah.
So all those kind of emotions or that pressure because you're around others makes you start to think that I should eat that. So intuitive eating is really going to come about. I like to say to my patients when they're dealing with thoughts like that is, you know, like they're thinking that they might want to grab a cookie or whatever. I'll say, would you eat a carrot?
Hmm.
And if the answer is yes, I'd eat a carrot. I'm so hungry that I would eat a carrot. Then go eat the carrot. Because otherwise it just means that you're just, it's appetite. You're just looking for to solve some emotion or something going on. So I think those are some of the top trends that I see happening.
Well, I've got another one to add to yours because I've done this the last couple of years. And in the spring, we go down, it's a special program that one of the vendors at the food market does. And every week we go and get a box of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
They fill it up and it's whatever's in season. And a lot of times this year that we got a lot of eggplant and had no idea how to cook it. And you looked it up and we found different ways to use it. And it's kind of like getting some of the prepackaged meals. You're kind of being introduced to some things I would not have gone out and bought eggplant.
Exactly. The co-op is great to do that and to support the local farmers, right? And you're right. And so that opens up a whole nother concept for you in terms of the eggplant. I actually say, too, when you take the kids to the grocery store, go to the produce aisle and say, pick something out and let's try it. Even if it's something that you might not like, you just put that smile on and you say, let's try it. I'll be game for it.
Nancy Farrell here. Before we take the break, somebody texted in and we talked about the question was, how important is it to limit sugar in your diet? And we talked about that. But then they also ask, what are some of the best ways to limit sugar?
To eliminate the sugar. Yeah. So I would say that's going to be, we talked about the beverages, right? You got to be very careful of those. Reading the food label. Yogurt is one of those places where it's hidden sugars that they're there. So I think you would, you really have to start to look at the label and understand that 4 grams equates to about a teaspoon. So if you can look at the back of a cereal box, yogurt, trail mix, ice cream, whatever it might be, you got to start reading the label and kind of equating that how many teaspoons of sugar are actually in that serving size. You have to pay attention to the serving size.
Yeah. No, you're right, there's so many things have kind of that you
hidden.
Wouldn't, the hidden sugar, mm-hmm. because trail mix is one that you mm-hmm. just, you're thinking, I'm eating good. And a lot of times, I think a lot of these packages have organic. Everybody puts organic on it, and it may not be quite as organic as you think.
Well, right. Organic means something different. I mean, there are a lot of organic natural foods that can actually be high in a carbohydrate or high in a fat content. So organic means free of pesticides and hormones and antibiotics and things like that. So totally different.
Nancy Farrell here this morning. She is a registered dietitian nutritionist around here. Farrell Dietitian Services is her company, farrelldietitian.com. If you want to get in touch with Nancy, more on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll wrap it up.
It's Regency. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Nancy Farrell here this morning, the local registered dietitian nutritionist, as we talk about foods and all. You want to talk about some peanut allergy guidelines.
Right. So recently you may have heard in the news about new peanut allergy guidelines coming down from the NIH, National Institutes of Health, and the government. So in 2015, there was a study that occurred that, and it showed that early introduction of peanut given to infants that were already at high risk of developing a peanut allergy was actually a safe thing to do. And it led to an 81% reduction in them developing then a peanut allergy. So new guidelines are being sent out and pediatricians are aware of this. And so I would say if you're in a family where you're concerned about peanut allergies, certainly talk to your healthcare provider, your pediatrician about this, because there's some discussion that maybe giving the peanuts to kids at an early age, not peanut butter on a spoon. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like peanut butter puffs or, you know, maybe really watered down peanut mm-hmm. butter would be something good to do at early, maybe between 4 to 6 months of age is what the guidelines really say. So and that might be scary. So you really need to speak to your pediatrician about that. But it's that early introduction that may help in terms of fighting off that that peanut allergy that I know affects them as they go on into the school even, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess, Nancy, as people come to you and try to come up with changes in lifestyle and strategies, one of the things, I guess, is to make sure that when as they incorporate this, that if one of the things they want to do is weight loss, is to have it gradual. And what's good, you know, is 4 or 5 pounds a week something to strive for? Or, I mean, everybody's different.
Correct. Everybody's different. So actually 4 to 5 pounds is a lot.
That's a lot. Okay.
Yes. So generally we'll say 1 to 2 pounds per week.
A week. Okay.
So decreasing your daily calorie allotment by 500 calories. Okay. And so we know that it takes 3,500 calories to either gain or lose a pound of fat. So 500 calories times 7 days is 3,500 calories, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's, we've talked about this before. Remember, like, little candy kisses or little miniature candies, right? I mean, those things can add up. We just all got done with the holidays.
Yes. Oh, no, I can't eat them anymore without thinking of
25 at a pop.
Yeah, you can just sit there. Mm-hmm. And we've done shows on that about just how they are.
Extra dips of the ranch dressing or the hummus, which is a fat source, right? That's why the peanut butter, the powdered peanut butter, takes out the oil part of it. Choosing those fats wisely was one of my intentions. Go ahead and have them, but just have them for things that you really want to have them in, right? But it's 1 to 2 pounds per week. 2 pounds is a lot to try to get to, so.
And one of the good things we talked about this morning, I think we talked about eating your vegetables, of trying to have maybe half your plate with vegetables, and that's a good start, I guess.
Well, in last year too, you saw a lot of kale being on the shelf, right? I mean, it was spinach, now it's kale, and we talked to at the break too about Brussels sprouts really hitting, you know, the market out there, and then you're going to start to see these purple vegetables start to occur. So have that open mind and try these new and different things, but also have your kids try them. I know when my kids were little, I always had a family guideline, and it was always one bite per age, you know, up to the age of 5.
Wow, okay.
So, but it becomes a little game with your little kids, right?
I mean,
so, and you're teaching them numbers. So, I think that's a good concept that they need to at least initially try something.
No, and that's a good, boy, what a good idea, because to give your kids some guidelines and to give them some options, maybe they don't deal with some problems later on in life, and it's right. Maybe even some medical problems.
Right. Bring them into the kitchen. Well, back to that supermarket. Let them pick something at the supermarket. Bring them into the kitchen. Help them do simple tasks in terms of preparing that meal, eating it, a few bites. And you know what? Cleanup is important too. That's part of that whole process, mm-hmm. right? So it helps to teach them those life skills.
FeralDietitian.com. People want to get more information. It's Feral Dietitian Services. You're over by the hospital. Nancy, great to have you in here. We'll do this again as we get into the spring season and different food items are out there.
Sounds good. And I also want to say, if anybody's looking for a dietitian or they need more help, go to eatright.org or kidseatright.org. That's the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Thanks a lot,
great.
Ted.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Nancy Farrell with us this morning. Again, feraldietitian.com. That's it for Town Talk. See you next time on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.